ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from Canto 8, text chapter 23, entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets, text number 17. Tathapi vadato bhuman karishyami anusashanam etakshreya param pumsan yattava agyanupalanam. Translation: Lord Vishnu, I must nonetheless act in obedience to your order, because obeying your order is most auspicious and is the first duty of everyone. So from 17 to 28, there are no purports. We'll just read the verses, and we'll read text 29, which has a purport. Text 18. Shukdev Goswami continued, "In this way, the most powerful Shukracharya accepted the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full respect. Along with the best Brahmanas, he began to compensate for the discrepancies in sacrifice performed by Bali Maharaj. O King Parikshit, thus having taken all the land of Bali Maharaj by begging, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vamandev, delivered to his brother Indra all the land taken away by Indra's enemy. Lord Brahma, the master of King Daksha and all other Prajapatis, accompanied by all the demigods, the great saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitraloka, the Manus, the Munis, and such leaders as Daksha, Bhrigu, and Angira, as well as Kartikeya and Lord Shiva, accepted Lord Vamandev as the protector of everyone. He did this for the pleasure of Kashyap Muni and his wife Aditi, and for the welfare of all the inhabitants of the universe, including their various leaders. O King Parikshit, Indra was considered the king of all the universe, but the demigods headed by Lord Brahma wanted Upendra, Lord Vamandev, as the protector of the Vedas. The principles of religion, fame, opulence, auspiciousness, vows, elevation to higher planetary systems, and liberation. Thus, they accepted Upendra, Lord Vamandev, as the supreme master of everything. This decision made all living entities extremely happy. Thereafter, along with all the leaders of the heavenly planets, Indra, the king of heaven, placed Lord Vamandev before him and, with the approval of Lord Brahma, brought him to the heavenly planet in a celestial airplane." Text 25. Indra, king of heaven, being protected by the arms of Vamandev, the supreme personality of Godhead, thus regained his rule of the three worlds and was reinstated in his own position, supremely opulent, fearless, and fully satisfied. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Kartikeya, the great sage Bhrigu, and other saintly persons, the inhabitants of Pitraloka, and all other living entities present, including the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and living entities who travel in outer space by airplane, all glorified the uncommon activities of Lord Vamandev. O King, while chanting about and glorifying the Lord, they returned to their respective heavenly planets. They also praised the position of Aditi. Text 28. O Maharaj Parikshit, pleasure of your dynasty, I have now described to you everything about the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamandev. Those who hear about this are certainly freed from all the results of sinful activities. And text 29, which has a purport and which we'll be discussing today. So I'll just read the translation to text 29 and the purport to it. Translation: One who is subject to death cannot measure the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Trivikram, Lord Vishnu, any more than he can count the number of atoms on the entire planet Earth. No one, whether born already or destined to take birth, is able to do this. This has been sung by the great sage Vasistha. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport: Vasistha Muni has given a mantra about Lord Vishnu. नते विष्णुर जयमानो न जातो महिमनः परम अनंतम आपः. No one can estimate the extent of the uncommonly glorious activities of Lord Vishnu. Unfortunately, there are so-called scientists who are subject to death at every moment, but are trying to understand by speculation the wonderful creations of the cosmos. This is a foolish attempt. Long, long ago, Vasishtha Muni said that no one in the past could measure the glories of the Lord and that no one can do so in the future. One must simply be satisfied with seeing the glorious activities of the Supreme Lord's creation. The Lord therefore says in Bhagavad Gita 10.42, Vistabhyam idam krishnam ekam shena sthitav jagat. With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. The material world consists of innumerable universes, each one full of innumerable planets, which are all considered to be products of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's material energy. Yet, this is only 1/4 of God's creation. The other 1/4 of creation constitute the spiritual world. Among the innumerable planets is only one universe. The so-called scientists cannot understand even the moon and the Mars, but they try to defy the creation of the Supreme Lord and His uncommon energy. Such men have been described as crazy. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarmaha. Bhagavatam 5.4.4. Such crazy men unnecessarily waste time, energy and money in attempting to defy the glorious activities of Urukrama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And once again, so now we are at the concluding session of this entire pastime of Bali Maharaj, where Shukdev Goswami is completely summarizing and concluding this whole pastime by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His uncommon activities. So, when one reads this pastime of Bali Maharaj, one may get bewildered seeing the way in which the Lord functions. How the Lord comes, He cheats Bali Maharaj, and then finally, when Bali Maharaj surrenders, then He binds him with the Varunapash and then sends him to Sutal planet. Completely unheard of, or not the normal way in which a Supreme Lord is expected to do. But then Shukdev Goswami makes it very clear that this is how the Lord functions and why the Lord functions like this, that we may not be able to understand it. Because the Lord has His own way of functioning, the Lord has His own way of dealing with His devotees. So therefore, he points out that it may be possible, which is not, it may be possible for a person to count the number of atoms on this planet Earth, but it won't be possible to count the pastimes or the activities, uncommonly activities of the Supreme Lord. So by this one statement, Shukdev Goswami is completely kicking out any scope for any speculation about the activities or the nature of the Lord. If a person can just understand this one line, that if it may be possible for him to count the number of atoms on the planet, but it still may not be possible for him to count the uncommon activities of the Supreme Lord. So a person has to completely remove any idea of trying to understand God. And if this is what the Lord is, then what is our hope? Can we ever understand God? If a person like Shukdev Goswami, if he is concluding like this, then how should we continue to perform our devotional service? Or will we be ever able to understand God? So Prabhupada, as soon as he gets an opportunity, as usual, he punches the modern scientists who are trying to speculate about God, God's creations, God's activities. So similarly, we find this is not just Shukdev Goswami his realizations. It is the realization of great saintly persons, great devotees. Any person, if he is supposed to be called as a great devotee, or if you want to judge someone's position, then at the end, he has to come to this conclusion. What Shukadeva Goswami is concluding with, that I can never understand the Supreme Lord. If a person performs a devotional service or engages in devotional service and thinks that I have understood the Supreme Lord, or I have come in close contact with the Lord, or something I know about the Lord, then we should understand that there is something wrong with that person. When person like Shukadeva Goswami cannot completely, when he is concluding that he cannot completely able to understand, then what about people like us? It is not at all possible. And this is very beautifully explained by our founder Acharya of our Sampradaya itself, Lord Brahmaji. If Brahmaji, in his prayers to Supreme Lord Krishna, he concludes, he has the same realizations. So Brahmaji, after his mature understanding, after spending around 50 years of his life, he is coming to a conclusion that I cannot understand you, my dear Lord. And this is very beautifully described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the Brahma Vimohan Leela. So as we all know that how Lord Brahmaji, when he was on his swan van carrier, he was flying over Vrindavan, and especially when he saw that beautiful scene that how Krishna is sitting with his cowherd boyfriends and having their lunch break on the banks of Jamuna, and how each and every gopa is opening up their bag and whatever their mothers have packed for them, they are tasting it, and whichever preparation was the best, right from their mouths, they were putting in the mouth of Krishna. Because they always wanted to offer the best to Krishna. And Krishna was happily, blissfully accepting that remnants from his devotees. This one thing what Brahmaji, right from his swan, he was seeing this and he was completely bewildered. Because when Brahmaji or all the demigods, when they offer or when they do any offering to the Lord, they have to do all mantras, yantras, tantras, mudras and pujas. And then also there is no guarantee that the Lord is going to accept. But here it is not just putting the bhoga before the Lord and praying to the Lord, please accept it. And then when the plate is still there, nothing reduces from the plate. It is still there, and at least we mentally are convinced that yes, the Lord has accepted. Even after doing so many things. But here, the Supreme Lord is not just saying, okay, I have accepted from my eyes and just, now it's prasad. Here, right from the mouth of his devotees, his friends, he's putting it in his mouth and tasting it, enjoying it. And this bewildered Brahmaji completely. And he started giving a second thought to his mind, that I've heard that my Supreme Lord has appeared in this Vrindavan Dham, but is he this small boy, is he my same Lord? He can't be. So let me just judge him or test him. And we know that how Brahmaji comes, the calves were tending around far away distance. Brahmaji completely steals them back, and when the coward boys realize, oh, calves have gone somewhere else, then the boys are in agony, where the calves have gone. Krishna tells, you'll just continue with your lunch break, with your lunch, I'll just go and search for the calves. And then when Krishna goes out to search the calves, when he comes back, even the boys are missing. He could not find the calves, but when he comes back, his friends are also missing. And now, calves are also gone, and boys are also gone. And then, by his own potency, he can understand who is the person behind that. And then, and Brahmaji, meanwhile, he takes all the calves, the cowherd boys, and puts them in a mystic slumber, and takes them to his Brahmalok, and makes them sleep there. But by the time he goes up, and he sees back, he finds all the calves, all the coward boys, they are playing around, moving around, and the same party is going on. Completely bewildered. He turns back to that place where all these calves and coward boys are sleeping, and they are still there. And both the places, he is seeing there, he is seeing here. Both the two parties are manifesting simultaneously. One are sleeping, other are playing around, enjoying. And that is the time when Brahmaji is completely bewildered. And in that very regretful state, very lamentable state, he comes before Lord Krishna, who is still continuing to play. And before that, when he comes and cries before the Lord, and that time to bewilder him more, the Lord transforms all the calves, all the cowherd boys, and shows them his Chaturbhuja form. That these calves and cowherd boys are not different from me. I am that very same self who is expanding. And seeing this unbelievable, inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Lord, Brahmaji has nothing to do except with all his four heads, place it before the Lord's lotus feet, and with eight eyes, shed tears at the lotus feet of the Lord. And that maturity of his realization, he comes to the conclusion that I am not able to understand you. And there are series of prayers, if we analyze it properly, around 38 prayers, before he departs to Brahmaloka, which he offers to Krishna. If we analyze those prayers, one can understand, or Lord Brahmaji gives proper ways and means by which, applying which, one can easily understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though the Lord is beyond the reach or scope of any scientist or any other person, as Shukdev Goswami says, a person who is subjected to death, who has taken birth or who is going to take birth, he cannot understand the Supreme Lord. But still, if one follows in the footsteps of Lord Brahmaji and in that same mood tries to approach the Lord, then he can be successful in trying to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as he is. So, there are different points and there are verses related to that how one can understand the Supreme Lord. So, first of all, this is the process now, step by step, how Brahmaji delineates the process to understand the Supreme Lord. So first of all, the first process which begins in trying to understand God is, irrespective of what is, how is, one should just glorify the Supreme Personality of God. Glorification is the first step in trying to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Brahmaji begins his glorification. Very beautiful verses, each and every verse like a jewels. He says, my dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of King of Cowherds, your transcendental body is like a dark blue cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning, and the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. Wearing garlands of various forest flowers and leaves and equipped with a herding stick, a buffalo horn and a flute, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. So the first stage of trying to understand God is glorify. As soon as we try to come before the Lord and we are standing before the altar, the first stage should be observing the beauty of the Lord, right from his lotus feet till his head, lotus face. Each and every aspect of the Lord is worth meditating upon. And only when you meditate on, then the process of trying to understand the Lord begins. And along with that process of trying to understand God, the process of the Lord trying to reveal himself begins simultaneously. It is not that only at the end of the process the Lord will say, okay, now I will reveal myself. To the extent we follow this footsteps or the pattern which Lord Brahmaji gives, to that degree the Lord is going to step by step reveal himself to us. That is this formula which Brahmaji is delineating in these beautiful prayers. And then when we come before the Lord, after glorifying the Lord, one has to accept one's inability to try to understand God. It is not that I can understand him just because I am reading Shastras, I am reading Bhagavatam, I am reading this, I am reading that, and through all the Shastras now I have understood God. Many people are doing that. Even big philosophers, they are doing, big professors, PhD holders. They are also reading much better and much expertly than any of a great devotee can do. Or any of a very intelligent person, not a great devotee, intelligent person can do. They are not even devotees, but they do much better than us, spend much time in scrutinizingly study the literature. But does it mean that because they have ratified each and every word, understood the each and every detail of the Shastra, that means that they can understand Krishna? If that had been the case, then there was no necessity for us to become devotees and follow all these things. Only intelligent people could have become devotees of the Lord and understand the Lord. But the Lord completely has the ability, he has that, what do you call, patency or something like that. He cannot reveal himself to anyone just by merely reading the Shastras. So when you come before the Lord, even though when we are reading the Shastras, we may get some glimpse of the Lord's form, his activities, his pastimes, but still the mood in which a person should be, that I am not able to understand you. I cannot understand you. With that mood, one has to always approach the Supreme Lord. And therefore, Brahmaji says that neither I nor anyone else, if Lord Brahmaji is speaking like this, then what is our level or what is our scope? He's telling, my dear Lord, neither I nor can anyone estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. So Brahma is ruling out. Even though you may be successful in withdrawing your mind from all the material affairs, you may be the topmost of renunciant, you may be completely detached from material things, but that is not the qualification for you to understand God. Your Brahmaji is clear cut. He's saying, although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? It's not possible. Just like when we come before the deity, when we are standing before the Lord, when we read the Shastras, we find so many pastimes the Lord manifests before his devotees. Especially when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, when you read the Shat Prahari Leela, how the Lord reciprocated with all the devotees. And when you come and stand before the same Gaurnithaya, it is very difficult to conceive that are you the same personality? Is this the same personality who is doing all these pastimes, who is revealing himself to his devotees? It requires only one thing, which the Lord Brahmaji is going to come to an end, that is mercy. Only when the Lord wants to reveal himself, then only we can understand the Lord. So then, one has to understand or accept one's inability to try to understand him. And then, this famous verse which comes, Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartham sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvan manobhir ye prayaso jito ajito jito piyasi tastair trilokyam. He says, only those who, even while remaining situated in their established social position, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, words and mind offer all respects to the descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordships, although you are otherwise inconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. Same thing what Shukdev Goswami is telling, Brahmaji is repeating, or in fact, Shukdev Goswami is repeating the same prayers of Brahmaji. Same realizations. It is not possible unless and until one with one's body, mind and words completely dedicates to hearing the transcendental sound vibrations, the katha of the Supreme Lord. And then, while accepting one's inability to understand God, but still the mind does not agree. It's not that you just come stand before the Lord, my dear Lord, I cannot understand you. It is not that easy. The mind will still continue to speculate about the activities and the potencies of the Lord. It is not that easy. It is not just, you just come before the Lord, my dear Lord, you are great, I am fallen, and finish. No. The mind will give all reasons, all ideas, all speculations, that this could be like that, this that could be like that. But then Brahmaji, he says, one should kick away all mental speculation. There should be no speculation at any level in trying to understand God. Why? Because it is simply a useless endeavor. You may go on speculating throughout your life, but still, Brahmaji says, it is just like beating an empty husk to try to get the grain out of it. If a person takes an empty husk, and no matter, he may spend his whole life eating it, the husk may become turn into powder, but no grain will come out of it. No grain will come out of it. So similarly, mental speculation is like that. You may go on speculating throughout your life, but the Lord, who is like that grain inside, is not going to come out of it. He will not present before you. Therefore, mental speculation, which is only troublesome, should completely be kicked out. The third thing which Brahmaji presents in the process of trying to understand the Supreme Lord. And then he says, not only mental speculation, there may be even other processes which a person may accept or may try to follow. But even one should understand, by following those other processes, one may at the most, try to come to the level of understanding his impersonal aspect. Even after undergoing so many austerities, so many rituals and whatnot, a person may at the most come to understand your impersonal form, but my dear Lord, he may not be successful in understanding your original personal form. Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karanakaran. He cannot understand that. So even, it is not that I will follow or give up only mental speculation. Brahmaji rules out everything. Each and everything he rules out in the process of trying to understand the Supreme Lord. And then he comes, he explains again the same, in that same mood of Shukdev Goswami is again being mentioned here. He says, in time, the learned philosophers, why actually, when Brahmaji says that one should rule out all the ways and means to try to understand God. So he supports his statement. He says, in time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of the snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun. From gross to subtle. Particles of atom are the grossest things. Snow particles are subtler than that. And the molecules of fire are complete subtler. So he goes from gross to subtle, and he explains that even he might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended on the surface of the earth for the benefit of all living entities? Who can possibly understand? So there is no way. Brahmaji rules out that there is no way to try to understand him. And then we see the same mood, the same principle in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita also. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Jagannath Puri, and as soon as he reached the temple of Lord Jagannath, after taking that beautiful darshan of the beautiful forms of the Lord, he just went into ecstasy and fell down unconscious. Practically he was dead, like a dead person, manifesting all his 8 symptoms of ecstasy. And that time Sarvam Bhattacharya, who was like one of these philosophers, learned, impersonal Samayavadika, educated person, like Brahmaji, something like that. So even he saw, by his, just like Brahmaji says, that he can understand the impersonal form of the Lord. So he had some understanding that this person is manifesting some ecstatic symptoms and is still alive. When he placed that cotton fiber around his nose, they were moving. And then he told the guards who were about to beat, who were on the process of beating Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told them, he stopped them and told them to take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his house. And after that, when the devotees come back, Mahaprabhu again comes back to his consciousness. And there is a discussion between the Supreme Lord and Sarvam Bhattacharya. Meanwhile, Sarvam Bhattacharya's brother-in-law, Gopinath Acharya, when he comes, because he knew Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity, and when he comes and reveals to Sarvam Bhattacharya that, my dear brother-in-law, you don't know who's there in your house. Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead right in your house. But Sarvam Bhattacharya, being a logician, being a philosopher, completely rejects all the statements put forward by Gopinath Acharya. He does not accept it, because that is the nature of a logician. That is the nature of a person who goes on speculating. He will never accept. Why? Because he has much more faith over his mind than in the Supreme Lord. They think that with my mind I can able to understand or conquer the Lord. So Gopinath Acharya, he puts so many arguments. Sarvam Bhattacharya puts so many arguments before Gopinath Acharya, and even Gopinath Acharya, referring to Shastras, tries to convince Sarvam Bhattacharya, but still he does not accept. And finally, Gopinath Acharya concludes why, even though the Supreme Lord is there right in his house, he is not able to understand or realize his presence. So Gopinath Acharya says, Yadyapi Jagat Guru Tumi Shastra Gyanavan. He was the Guru. People all around the planet used to come to learn from him. That was the intelligence of Sarvam Bhattacharya. He says, Yadyapi Jagat Guru Tumi Shastra Gyanavan Prithvite Nahi Pandita Tomara Saman. There is no one as learned as you in this entire planet Earth. Prithvite. He says, Prithvite Nahi Pandita Tomara Saman. He glorifies, but then he completely kicks out. Gopinath Acharya kicks out this principle that even though you may be a learned person, you may be the guru of the entire planet Earth, but that is not the qualification for you to come to an understanding of the Lord and his potencies. Even though the Lord is personally present in your house, still you are not able to perceive it. Why? Because Gopinath Acharya rules out that. He says, Ishwarera kripalesha nahikato mate ata eva ishwara tattva napara janite. Why you are not able to understand? Because Ishwarera kripalesha. Lesha, you don't even have the little bit, even a fragment of mercy of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, ata eva ishwara tattva napara janite. This principle, this tattva, this truth about, or the identity about the Supreme Lord, you cannot understand. And then he says, it is not your fault. My dear brother-in-law, it is not your fault. Why? Tomara nahi ka dosha shastre ehi kahe. It is not your fault. And this, even the Shastra also delineates it. Shastra also says that. What is the fault? Then whose fault? If it is not your fault, then whose fault is that? He says, Panditiyadi Ishwar Tattva Nagyane Kabunahe. He says, by learning, by your Panditya, you cannot understand the Lord. This even the Shastra says. Because you are so scholar, you are so learned in so many different scriptures, therefore you are not able to come to the conclusion of the existence and the identity and the potency of the Supreme Lord. And we see the same Sarvam Bhattacharya, when Mahaprabhu gives him his mercy and reveals the actual form, that same Sarvam Bhattacharya was Taraka, Vitarki and hardcore logician. After the cleansing of Gundicha temple, All Mahaprabhu takes all the devotees to take bath in Indradumna Sarovar, and then after a long bathing pastimes, Mahaprabhu arranges a feast for all of them. And when Gopinath Acharya is also there in that feast, and Mahaprabhu is serving, and the devotees are serving, all the devotees are eating, relishing that prasadam eating pastime. And then when Gopinath Acharya sees his brother-in-law, Sarvam Bhattacharya, completely transformed, dancing in ecstasy, in jubilation, tasting the Mahaprasad, chanting with the devotees, and ecstatically manifesting all the symptoms of a devotee, he says, Kaha Bhattacharya Purva Jada Vyavahar. Where is that Bhattacharya? Before, what was Bhattacharya before? He was Jada Vyavahar, he was hardcore logician. His activities, his relationships were so, you know, impersonal. Kaha ehi paramananda karaho vichar. And now, that same person was a hardcore follower of all rules and regulations, and here is person who is experiencing the highest ananda, paramananda. And he says, karaho vichar. You have to just see this. Gopinath Acharya, when see anyone, when you make someone devotee, when initially when it is really a hard nut to crack, and some other you are successful in making devotees, and then that same person, initially was when he was putting a lot of arguments and this and that, when you see him dancing and chanting and eating prasad and following all the rules and regulations, automatically, you know, it feels so happy that how this person has changed. Similarly, Gopinath Acharya, when he sees his brother-in-law, he is also experiencing that same ecstasy, that bliss of transformation of Sarvam Bhattacharya's heart. And then he says, but Sarvam Bhattacharya, when he hears this, Sarvam Bhattacharya says, Sarvabhauma kahe ami tarkika ki buddhi, ku buddhi. My intelligence was completely lost because I was a tarkika, I was a logician. Tomara prasade mora ehi sampata siddhi. By your mercy, today I have got this sampata siddhi. I have got this greatest of all benedictions. Devotion to the Supreme Lord. He is giving all credits to his brother-in-law. And then he says, Tarkika Shrigala Sange Bhyu Bhyu Kari. What was my condition before? Associating with all the logicians, I was just barking like a jackal. Tarkika Shrigala Sange Bhyu Bhyu Kari. And now, with that same mouth, Sei Mukhe Ebe Saba Koe Krishna Hari. And with that same mouth, now I am chanting the names of Krishna, the names of Hari. Such transformation. But what is that factor? It's a factor of mercy. It's a mercy factor that can completely reveal the Lord to us. And then, even Chaitanya Bhagavata also, at each and every stage, Vrindavan Das Thakur, whenever he narrates any pastime, Vrindavan Das Thakur at every pastime, what does he say? Even Lord Ananta Shesha, this is hundreds and thousands of mouths. He is glorifying the activities of the Supreme Lord from time immemorial, but still he has not come to an end of the count of the pastimes which Lords are performing. And he is not repeating any pastime. Even with his hundreds and thousands of mouths, without repeating any pastimes, if he has not come to the conclusion of the Lord's activities, then what is our status? How can we understand the Lord? So, but there is a hope which Lord Brahmaji gives to us. And then he says, who can understand the Supreme Lord? Then he says, only when one accepts one's mistake. Brahmaji says, one has to accept one's mistake of trying to apply all different ways and means of trying to understand God. We have to come before the Lord, accept our mistake, and ask for forgiveness before the Lord, which Brahmaji was doing. He says, my dear Lord, please excuse my offenses. I have taken birth in the mode of passion, and therefore, simply, I am a foolish person, presuming myself to be a controller independent of your lordships. My eyes are blinded by the darkness of ignorance, which causes me to think of myself as unborn creator of the universe, but please consider that I am your servant and therefore worthy of your compassion. I am your humble servant and worthy of your compassion. And what should be the mood of asking forgiveness? Brahmaji says in his prayers that, my dear Lord, just like a child in the womb of his mother, when the child moves here and there after a certain period of pregnancy, it appears that he's kicking. He practically kicks also. Therefore, many times when women come for their gynecological checkup, the question put by the gynecologist is the kick count to see the activity of the child inside. How many times the child is kicking you? So, when the child is kicking, the womb of his mother, it appears that he's kicking, actually he's kicking also. But does the mother take offense? My dear rascal child, I'm carrying you and still you're kicking me. Ungrateful person. She does not take offense. She goes into ecstasy. Oh, here, oh, there. It's really ecstasy for a woman. I have seen this in our college times. Women are blissful, you know, to get the kicks. So therefore, he's telling, my dear Lord, I am like a child in your womb. I might have committed offense to try to understand you, but please be compassionate upon me and don't take it as an offense. My activities may be like a kick of a child, but I am like your child. So please, my dear Lord, forgive me. And then he goes on to explain the further stage. One has to understand the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. And there are many verses explaining the supreme position of Krishna. That, my dear Lord, who are you? You are that same Narayan who's sleeping in the ocean, from whose navel I have the lotus flower has sprung, and from that lotus flower I have come. You are that same Lord who appears in different yugas, in different forms. You are that same Lord who manifests as myself, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh for the maintenance, creation and annihilation of this whole universe. You are the source of everything. So when you come before the Lord, one has to offer prayers. Otherwise, one will simply mistake. And that is what, especially when you see Lord Narayan, when he sees four arms with all his weapons and all, automatically a feeling of awe and reverence and respect comes before the Lord. But when you see Krishna with his two hands, just playing a flute and his tribhanga form, it's very difficult to have that awe and reverence for the Lord. And because that awe and reverence is not there, therefore, and because he looks like us, therefore what happens? We tend to consider him one of us. This is how the Lord plays trick in his original form. So first we have to understand the identity of the Supreme Lord, and not just the Lord, we just have to also understand the power, the potencies of the Supreme Lord with which he functions. How the Lord controls this entire universe is with the different potencies. The external potency, the internal potency, and especially for us, we should be fearful or consider the Lord's external potencies of the Lord, the Mahamaya potency of the Lord. Only then there is a scope for us to understand. Otherwise, if you are not fearful, just like Prabhupada said once to his devotees, when Prabhupada was praying morning class, he says, Maya, I am not fearful of Maya. Maya cannot touch me. But after the class, when he went before the deities, he was praying to the Lord, my dear Lord, please protect me from Maya. And devotees, when they heard this, they were bewildered. Morning he said, Maya cannot touch me. And now he's telling, please, my dear Lord, save me from Maya. So the devotees got bewildered and they put the question before Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada, morning you were saying like this, that Maya cannot touch you, and now you are praying like this. Prabhupada said, just because I am praying like this, therefore Maya cannot touch me. And then he said to his devotees, that the only problem with my devotees is they are not enough fearful of Maya. They are not afraid of Maya. That is the problem with my devotees. So therefore, as devotees, one should always be careful about the external potency of the Lord and the way it functions. That is what Brahmaji explains in his prayers. And then, in his prayers, he says, my dear Lord, you are the supreme creator and master. You have no material birth. Yet, to defeat the false pride of the faithless demons and to show mercy on the saintly devotees, you take birth among the demigods, sages, human beings, animals, and even aquatics. Even just to show your mercy, you are appearing in so many different forms, my dear Lord. He is praying to the Lord. And therefore, today is the disappearance day of Shripad Loknath Goswami Maharaj, Goswami. So Loknath Goswami, even though he was born in Bangladesh, when he came to Navadvip, knowing the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a part of his past, his Leela, and to enact or to see those pastimes which the Lord is enacting, he came to Bangladesh, so to Navadvip. And then the Lord sent Loknath Goswami to Vrindavan. Did you go to Vrindavan? Because the Lord was supposed to wind up his pastimes, the Navadvip pastimes, and take sannyas. And the Lord told him, I am taking sannyas, and after sannyas I will come to Vrindavan, you just be there. So Loknath Goswami, following the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, went to Vrindavan. And then he wandered around, because he was the first person among all the devout disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the first person to go to Vrindavan. And he was traveling all around in Vrindavan. And finally, when he came to know that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, he has come to Jagannath Puri, he came to Jagannath Puri to take the darshan of the Lord, because he was so eager, in that mood of separation, he came to Jagannath Puri. But then he got the news that Mahaprabhu is on his South India tour. So he went tracing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all throughout South India. But then, after finishing that South India tour, when he reached Jagannath Puri, he came to know that Mahaprabhu from Jagannath Puri, after finishing his South India tour, he has gone to Vrindavan. And then he felt so upset. He was so upset and he was so depressed that my Lord had told me that you be in Vrindavan, I will come there. But now that when the Lord has come to Vrindavan, I am not there. So again he rushed to Vrindavan. And he reached Vrindavan. And when he reached Vrindavan, he came to know that the Lord has left for Prayag. And he was on the way back to go to Prayag. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the dream and said, you just be here because you have special tasks to do. So following the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Loknath Goswami never left Vrindavan after that. He was moving around, wandering around in Vrindavan. And when he came to Khadirvan in the district next to Kishori Kund, in the village of Umrao, there he had a desire. Right from beginning he had the desire to worship the Supreme Lord. And that desire became so intense that the Lord personally appeared in the form of a Brahmana and handed over the deity, his own deity form, to Loknath Goswami. And when Loknath Goswami got that deity in his hand from that Brahmana who had come, as soon as he got that deity and he wondered who has given me that deity and was trying to trace that person immediately disappeared. And then that deity, this big, Radha Binod Dilal, is still there in Jaipur, beautiful deity form. So that deity started speaking to him. Imagine, this is how the Lord reveals. Loknath Goswami was in complete dilemma, he was confusion. Who is the person who gave this deity? And who, what this deity is, what is his name and all. And then the deity started speaking. He says, I am Radha Vinod. There is the Lord who is revealing himself, his name also. And then he says, he laughed. Radha Vinod is laughing, revealing his name. And then he's saying, who would have brought me here? Who can bring me here? Who would have brought me here? I have come myself. I live here on the banks of Kishori Kund, and this is my village, Umrao. So now please give me something to eat. Imagine. Krishna will never go to some mental speculator or a logician and say, give me something to eat. Because the devotion of Loknath Goswami was so intense, the desire to serve the deity was so intense, the Lord is appearing in a deity form and speaking laughingly, revealing himself and saying, please, give me something to eat. And Loknath Goswami was not a temple president or in charge. He didn't know anything. To just give an order to kitchen department, chalo bhoga bana do. He was just thinking, what will I offer to the Lord? He just went here and there, found some fruit, some vegetables, some leaves. And he just made that offering, foodstuffs, to Radha Vinod. Then he made nice flower beds, bed of flowers and leaves, and made Radha Vinod to rest. And after that, here regularly in this way is to serve Radha Vinod. And then so many the local people came to know about this Radha Vinod's appearance. Many of them were about to build a temple for, but he did not accept that. What he used to do? He just used to tie Radha Vinod in a cloth bag around his neck. And Radha Vinod, like a diamond in a necklace, would move around in the neck of Loknath Goswami. Such was the devotion. So the Lord appears for the pleasure of his devotee, and for the saintly devotees, the Lord even appears in the deity form just to reciprocate with that loving devotional service of the Lord. And then, how we see that then Narottam Das Thakur goes to Vrindavan and accepts initiation after serving his Guru Maharaj. Such humble menial service of the extent of was cleaning the place where he used to pass stool every day. And that was only a disciple of Srila Loknath Goswami. And then Bhugarbha Goswami joins Loknath Goswami, and then both of them come in close contact with the six Goswamis, and then with the help of the six Goswamis, they excavate all the holy places. And then today is the disappearance day of Loknath Goswami. And in Umrao, after spending long time serving Radha Vinod, he disappeared there, where his samadhi is still there, and his Pushpa Samadhi is there in Vrindavan, in Radha Gokulanan temple, his Pushpa Samadhi. So this is the Lord, or Lord Brahmaji is telling that how to approach the Lord. So, time is less, I'll just take 5 more minutes, summarize it. And then one also has to understand that how it is difficult to understand the Lord, his potencies, and also the functioning of his potencies. They are so mysterious. If you analyze his prayers, all prayers are in relation to that. He says, it is very difficult to understand how your spiritual potencies are acting. And then he concludes saying, my dear Lord, why people are not able to understand you? Because of your illusory external potencies. Because of your illusory energy, people are not able to understand you. And the same mood is presented by Kunti Devi also in her prayers. What does she say? Just like you are not appearing before your devotees or people in your original form because you have covered yourself with a curtain of Maya. Maya Javani Kanacham. And you are like a dramatist. You have covered yourself with the mask, even though you are there, but because you have covered yourself with the mask and that curtain, people are not able to understand you. The curtain of your illusory energy. And so if the Lord's energy is very difficult to understand, if the Lord's energies are also difficult to understand, then where is the scope? Where is the way, or how is the way to understand the Lord? So Brahmaji, in his prayers, he says that, my dear Lord, only those people who have received the clear vision of knowledge from sun-like spiritual master can see you in this way. In this way, as the very soul of all souls, the super soul of everyone's own self, thus understanding your original personality, they're able to cross over the ocean of illusory material existence. So one has to take shelter of a spiritual master and accept the knowledge from him. These are Brahmaji's realizations. He says, only this mercy of the spiritual master, and with that clear vision which he gives, one can completely dispel the ignorance and come in knowledge. He says that people, because of the influence of this illusory energy, the condition of the people becomes like a person trying to, or person becoming fearful or considering a rope to be a snake. And they become fearful. They forget you. But by the grace of a spiritual master, one with the torchlight of knowledge, Divya Jnana Ride Prakashito, one is able to see the rope as a rope, not as a snake. One is able to understand, on the basis of this true knowledge, the actual identity of the Supreme Lord and the functioning of the Lord's energies. But then, after taking the shelter of the Lord, the shelter of the spiritual master, it does not end there. It is not that, I have got initiated and now I am the shelter of my guru. I am serving him personally, hell with all others. No, that is not the realization of Brahmaji. Brahmaji prayers, continue to pray, he says, that, my dear Lord, I therefore pray to be so fortunate that in this lifetime, as Lord Brahma or in any other life, wherever I may take birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. I pray that wherever I may be, even among the animal species, I can engage in devotional service at your lotus feet. So one has to be, Brahma is telling, I should be counted as one of your devotees. That means I have to be in the circle of devotees, irrespective of which species I am. And this is a mood, this is a prayer. And therefore we understand by these prayers that who Haridas Thakur is. The same mood of prayers Haridas Thakur is presenting before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shat Prahari Leela. That wherever I may be, I just want to be in the association of your devotees. And why to be in the association of devotees? Why I want to be counted as your devotees? Because he glorifies the devotee. He says, the cows, because he has seen, Brahmaji has seen the great fortune of devotees of the Lord in the form of calves and the Braja gopis. He says, O Almighty Lord, how greatly fortunate are the cows and the ladies of Vrindavan, the nectar of whose breast milk you have happily drunk to your full satisfaction, taking the form of calves, their calves and children. Taking the form of your calves and children, you have drunk the milk from the gopis and the calves of your devotees. All the Vedic sacrifices performed from time immemorial up to the present day have not given you as much satisfaction as this. So performing devotional service in the association of devotees gives much more pleasure to the Lord than any other activity, any other sacrifices. And then he glorifies the devotee. He says, how fortunate is Nanda Maharaj? How fortunate are the inhabitants of Braj Bhumi? Because you are the source of transcendental bliss to all of them because you have become their friend. And then he says, my dear Lord, even though the great extent of good fortune of the residents of Vrindavan is inconceivable, one has to be in the association of devotees and constantly glorify the greatness of devotees, which Brahmaji is teaching us. He's saying, the great fortune of the residents of Vrindavan is inconceivable. We 11 presiding deities of various senses, headed by Lord Shiva, are most fortunate because the senses of these devotees of Vrindavan are the cups. Why one should be in the association of devotees? Because these devotees are the cups through which we repeatedly drink the nectarian, intoxicating beverage of the honey of your lotus feet. So only in the association of devotees can we understand the Supreme Lord. Because the devotees act like cups. Even though you may have something to drink, but if you don't have a container, how are you going to drink? Even if you want to drink through your palms, the palms have to take the form of a container. Even if you directly open your mouth have to take the shape of your container. So container is required. So similarly, that container is the association of devotees through which one can try to understand God. Therefore, in the process of trying to understand Krishna, one has to take shelter of the spiritual master. In that spiritual association, under his guidance, we have to take the association of his representatives. And in that association, one has to glorify those devotees. Why? Because they act like container through which we can drink the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet. And then he says, my greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth, whatever in the forest of Gokul, and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of his residents. Aspiring for the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees. Why dust from the lotus feet of devotees? Because the life and soul of these devotees is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Mukunda. Because Mukunda has become the life and soul of these devotees. Therefore, I need the dust from their feet. And therefore, Lord Brahmaji becomes the four mountains in Barsana to take the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees. And then, when one adopts this process, even one thing one should be very careful of. Even while adopting all this process, even by being under the association of devotees, serving them, hearing from them, Still, one cannot think that, oh, now I understood the Lord. Because in that association, you get the mercy of the Lord, mercy of the devotees. And the mercy of the Lord and his devotees and the spiritual master is the only way and means to try to understand the Lord and his potencies. But even after receiving mercy, what should be the constant mood of every devotee? Because the mercy which we are getting now may also be lost. So the maintenance phase, the maintenance of that mercy is the mood which Brahmaji is concluding his prayers with. He says, my dear Lord, there are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Janat eva janatu kim bhaktyaname prabho manaso vapuso vacho vaibhavam tava gochara. There are people who say, I know everything about Krishna. Let them think that way. As far as I am concerned, I do not wish to speak very much about this matter. People may come and glorify, oh my dear Prabhu, you have so much knowledge, you must have so much understanding of the Lord. You are such a great devotee. But what mood Brahmaji is presenting? As far as I am concerned, my dear Lord, let me say this much. As far as your opulences are concerned, they are beyond my reach of my body, mind and words. Only when a person maintains this humble mood, and in that humble mood associates with the devotees of the Lord, serves them and hears the nectarian pastimes of the Supreme Lord, then the process of trying to understand the Lord begins. Why? Because the Lord then starts discharging his own mercy, starts revealing himself unto us. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanand. Thank you. Sorry for delay, and thank you very much for your tolerant, patient hearing. Hare Krishna.